May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today is the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came on this day 2,000 years ago, it signaled a new beginning, the start of something new, and it's the Holy Spirit that is still carrying us forward. Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come, and so 50 days after Easter, that's exactly what happened. Now, speaking in tongues or speaking in different languages, like we heard a moment ago, was a major effect of the apostles having received the Spirit. Jews from around the world had gathered in Jerusalem for a Jewish festival, and so thousands and thousands of people were there. And even though they hadn't learned or been trained in all of these different languages, the Spirit enabled the apostles to speak in different languages so that their preaching and so that the good news of Jesus could be heard and understood by people from around the world. We think of the Trinity as three persons, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are the three ways that God has come to us. And of the three, the Holy Spirit is the most mysterious. It's hard for us to understand what we can't see and what we can't touch. We can look around, we can go outside, we can experience and enjoy being in God's creation. That's the work of the Father as Creator. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus the Son. Well, we can imagine Jesus as a human being. He had earthly parents and lived an earthly life. He had friends. He lived and he died. We can imagine all of that. We say that Jesus is the Redeemer. But the Spirit is totally different. In the absence of Jesus, the Spirit is how we experience the love and the presence of God in our lives today. While we can't see or touch, we can feel the Spirit as it leads and guides us, and as it helps us, and as it comforts us when we need it. And so we say that the Spirit is the sanctifier. Now, when it comes to the Spirit, it seems like churches can go in one direction or the other, to one extreme or the other. We've all been to churches where maybe there's not a lot of talk about the Spirit, where the Spirit seems like is never mentioned, and maybe they make jokes about it. They say, oh, we don't talk about the Spirit around here because we're Presbyterian or whatever. After all, the Holy Spirit is the shy member of the Trinity. On the other hand, we may have friends who are charismatic. We may know some folks who are Pentecostal. And the Spirit is a big part of their worship life. I mean, right? Every Sunday in church, the Holy Spirit is a big part of what they do. So it seems like churches can go to one end of the spectrum or to the other. So what about us as Episcopalians? Well, you can go home and tell your Pentecostal friends that you heard people speaking in tongues in your church this morning. As they read the gospel lesson in different languages that they had learned in school. We actually talk a lot about the Spirit in our worship service. I invite you to count how many times we mention the Spirit in worship or reference the work or activity of the Spirit in our lives, in our world, and in God's church. As Episcopalians, I think we're somewhere in the middle. We have a saying that you, I'm sure, have heard before, the Via Media, which describes how we're the middle way between Catholics and Protestants and how we take the best from both. I think it might apply to this discussion as well. We don't ignore the Spirit, never talk about it, nor are we Pentecostal, but we're somewhere in the middle. See, the reality is our Episcopal tradition is helpful to us in emphasizing some things while also helping us avoid some things as well. A challenge for us living in the 21st century is when we read about the Spirit in the New Testament, well, those scriptures were written 2,000 years ago. And back in the first century, churches were led and people were led by the Spirit, and they were doing all these different things. And we read about in the book of Acts and Corinthians and Thessalonians, they had all these different gifts of the Spirit, like prophesying and speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. Today we hear that and we laugh nervously. We say, oh, wasn't that nice that they did that? But we don't know what in the world to do with it. See, the Holy Spirit is and always has been unpredictable. And we see that on the first day of Pentecost when something unexpected happened. And there was some confusion. And we tried to create a little bit of that feeling this morning as the gospel was read in English, of course, but also in Russian and Dutch and Latin and German. The miracle on that first day of Pentecost was that the people didn't have to give up their identity. They didn't have to give up their culture or their language to learn about Jesus. People from around the world, different backgrounds and different cultures, they could all hear and they could all understand the good news of Jesus in their own language. The Spirit showed the apostles and everyone who could hear their preaching that everyone is welcomed to follow Jesus. There was a second work of the Spirit on that first day of Pentecost, and something we continue to experience today. The Spirit creates community and brings people together and creates relationship. At the end of Acts chapter 2, a new community is formed. 3,000 people were baptized on Pentecost Sunday. And so for the first time, there is a community of Christians, the very beginning of the church. And we still experience that today. Every time we come to church, we're drawn here by the Spirit. If we listen for it and if we're open to it, the Spirit brings us to God. And then when we get here, forms us into community. Every time you feel a tug on your heart, a nudge in your soul to come to worship, to see your friends here at church, every time you want to come through these doors and experience these people and this community, that's the work of the Spirit in your life. And that's true whether we're longtime members or first-time visitors, whether we're here every week or maybe haven't been here in a while. So we have to be open to it and listen for it. You and I can shut it down, can ignore the Spirit in our life if we choose. I invite you to pray about it and ask God to open your eyes to help you see and feel and experience the Spirit in your life. And notice how it draws us into community with God and community with one another. So if the Spirit unites and builds community, that means we as Christians and we as the church have something important to offer. We live in a culture of division and separateness. The climate today is people are often on either one side or on the other. While in this place, in the church, we have unity. Here at Holy Apostles, we have unity. You know, our society needs that. And I bet that you know people who need a place in their life like that. A community that's united, not divided. A community built on love, love for Jesus and love for each other. See, it's the function and work of the Spirit that enables us to offer and to be a united, loving community. Today, the liturgical color is red, and red reminds us of the red flames of fire that appeared around the apostles on that first Pentecost. That was the outward invisible sign of the miracle on that day, the welcoming of all people to follow Jesus. It comes all the way down to us today as we are still part of that miracle 2,000 years later here in our part of God's church. After today, we'll be in a new church season, the season after Pentecost. And so for the rest of the church year, we'll be in the season of the Spirit. As the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the living, moving presence of God that stirs our soul and pulls at our hearts. The Spirit moves in our daily lives, guiding our actions and decisions, guiding us into holy living and building our community. It's what helps us live the Christian life, and how the presence of God will always be with us. Amen.